The Gospel of John, John the 15th chapter. I want to read in your hearing verses 5 through 8. And I know you'll say, well, Brother Gibbs, didn't you preach from that a while ago? Well, you don't say that when you were watching those soap operas. Amen. All right, all right. Now, this is a good soap opera here. Amen. All right. John 15, beginning at verse number 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, and he is cast out as a branch and is withered, they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Verse 8 becomes the text from which our lesson will spring. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I shared with you from John 8:31, where Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Then I shared with you from John the 13th chapter, verse 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one to another. In each one of those verses, Jesus describes what makes one a disciple. One, abiding in the word. Two, expressing love toward one another, which is the divine love that comes from God. In our present verse, he identifies discipleship again. And he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. So discipleship is abiding in the word, loving one another, and bearing much fruit. The emphasis in this verse is that God will be glorified, God will be honored, that God will be proven to be excellent, one worthy of worship. You and I have a challenge as Christians to make discipleship a part of our everyday life. You and I know how important it is to make our calling and the very election that God has provided us, make it sure. So we must stay in the word, love one another, and bring forth much fruit to God. When I consider the idea of this lesson, bringing forth much fruit in 2016, bringing forth much fruit in 2016. I've shared with you, but I want to go into a little more detail, that the fruit that he speaks of, no doubt, is bringing others to Christ. But this fruit has various expressions. First, it is expressed in our character. When you go to the Apostle Paul's writings, When he wrote to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, as he contrasts the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, he showed us how that the works of the flesh bring about death, but the fruit of the Spirit brings forth life. He illustrated this fruit. He says in verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Many believe that he said fruit and not fruits of the Spirit, that love is the fruit and the others are byproducts of love. But each one, when you look at it, has some very, very unique characteristics that should be in the life of every Christian who has made Christ their Lord and their Savior. I like the way someone looked at this wonderful passage. Well, it's actually 22 and 23. But he said, and I tend to agree with him, that love, joy, and peace is Godward. It is that which we receive from God. Love, the divine love of God, that unconditional agape love, not based on feeling, but doing what is best for every individual. When you talk about joy, joy is that which God gives a man, that tranquility of soul, that regardless of circumstances, when the tornado comes through and tears up your house, you can walk out and still have joy because you know that what's most important is that which a tornado cannot take away. And keep it up there because I got to work from this now. Now, peace comes from God. Love, joy, and peace is from it is toward God. Now, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness is that which is manward. It's how you and I respond to one another. In other words, we got to be more long-suffering with one another. We have to express kindness to one another. And we need to be good to one another. That's our response toward man. Now the next three is self-ward. It's what we have within ourselves that makes us unique Christians. Faithfulness. Whatever job I have been assigned, I carry it out to the best of my ability. Not only faithfulness, but also, look at verse 23. Watch verse 23. He says, meekness, that is strength under control, and temperance, that's self-control. The idea is that if you have these characteristics, Godward, manward, selfward, you and I will have the kind of character that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In 2016, may we be people who bring forth much fruit. Let us love, express joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness or kindness, goodness. Make sure that we're faithful. Make sure that we are meek and keep ourselves under control. If we do this, church, if we express this kind of character, it's going to make our homes better. It's going to make our jobs better. It's going to make our neighborhoods better, and it'll make the world better. The world in which we live is in need of this kind of character. And when you and I signed up to be disciples of Christ, we're going to have to bear this kind of fruit and make sure that it becomes a part of our character and our daily life. You know, when I thought about this passage, I immediately went to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, where the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, you and I are going to have to fill ourselves and make sure that we're full of the Spirit of God. That's the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, kindness, and the goodness, and the faithfulness, and meekness, and the temperance. If you and I be filled with that, the Bible tells us that we will make good for everything that we're involved in. When I looked at that passage, it moved me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Now watch this verse. In Colossians chapter 1, and I'm expressing long-suffering. Now watch this now. For this cause, beautiful. The first service, they were a little slower than you all. Y'all doing a real good job. For this cause, watch this now, but don't miss me. I said that for you to laugh, but I want you to watch this now. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now, this is Paul praying for the Colossian brethren. And he knows that they have committed themselves to Christ. And so he says, I'm going in prayer. From the very day that I heard that you had given yourselves to Christ, I do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled, here's our word again, with the knowledge of his will. If you and I are going to possess the characteristics of the Spirit, we must be filled with the knowledge of his will, which carries us right back to the word of God. You and I have to know the word of God, study the word of God, read the word of God. And when we do that, we will be filled with knowledge of his will, not yours and mine, in all wisdom, spiritual what? Understanding. Watch verse number 10. Watch verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto how much pleasing? All pleasing. Being what? Here's our word. Being what? Fruitful in what? Every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm telling you, in 2016, I want to work on my character, and I want to take the fruit of the Spirit, and I want to increase my love. I want to increase my joy. I want to increase the peace of God. I want to make sure that these things really become a part of my life and dynamic in my life, that wherever I am, it will bring forth that which is good and needful for every person. Now, that's the first part of this fruit, the characteristics of the Spirit building Christian and character in the disciple. But another fruit is behavior. And I know that they are very similar, but one is who you are, and the next is what you do. And this is something that I think all of us need to work on. Put that last passage of scripture up there for me. The one in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Notice right here. He says, being fruitful in what? Every good work. So that's something for us to do. In order to be fruitful in every good work, it has to come from our character. So I want us to understand that, number two, everything we do needs to be bringing forth fruit unto God. That means that our work, our behavior, and how we respond must be that which produces wonderful fruit to God Almighty. Now, I want you to go with me. And I know we're going to several passages of scripture, but I want you to follow me. And I'm praying that it really makes good sense and you're able to get the message. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 6, and I want to look at verse number 21. I want to go to Romans chapter 6, and I want to look at verse number 21. Now watch this one. Here's our word again. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? He is simply saying there's some activities that you
that you were involved in before you became a Christian. And he says now that you're a Christian, he wants you to understand that you don't need to bear fruit, bad fruit. You don't need to have fruit that is destructive. Why? For the end of those things is death. Now, you can be involved in a lot of things, but if that behavior leads toward death, if that behavior leads toward contaminating everything that you touch and everywhere you are, then that's not good, and it doesn't bring glory and honor to God Almighty. But you and I, watch verse number 22. Watch the Bible. But now, being made what? Free from sin, and become what? Servants to God. Notice now, he said, now being made free from sin, that means that you once were a slave to sin. That is, participating whatever your flesh desired, that's what you did. But you just gave in. But now that you've become a Christian, now that you're a servant to God, you have your fruit unto what? Holiness. And the end is what? Everlasting life. There are some things that you do that turns out bad for you. But then there are other things that you do, if you follow God, that turns out good for you. Give you a perfect example. This young man who served as quarterback for Texas Christian University, they were in San Antonio, and they were there to play at the Alamo Bowl. Well, he broke curfew. That fruit messed him up, because what it did was it led him to a bar, and he was at the bar, and he started drinking. And you know, when you get in a certain state, you get into other stuff. So when he broke curfew, went to the bar, started drinking, next thing you know, got in a fight, hitting people, and then when the police showed up, even hit the policeman. Now, watch this. Here's my point. That's behavior that this young man, prior to this incident, had a stellar, I'm talking about a wonderful reputation. Everybody was shocked that this was a behavior of his. But what you need to understand is that every behavior is a fruit, and that fruit is that which either leads you toward life or it leads you toward death. You and I, as children of God, in 2016, we need to bring forth fruit. Every behavior of ours needs to be a behavior that brings goodness, that brings, that brings about a betterment of all that we touch. Whatever I do, God, let me examine myself. Let me take careful inventory before I do anything and ask myself, what I'm about to do, will it bring about good? Will it bring about peace and joy and a wonderful experience? Or what I'm about to do, will it lead toward death and corrupt the situation where I am? The goodness of God must be that which we make sure that we are interested in bringing forth to God. One more scripture there, and then I will end. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse number 14, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works. And when they see your good works, they will what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, Brother Gibbs, I understand that this idea of character is so important. May I multiply the wonderful attributes that the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, gives to the child of God. May I make sure that my behavior is that which is according to God's will and allows me to be able to make things better and to bring increased joy to every situation that I find myself. May I do that for my wife. May I do that for my children. May I do that for the co-workers that I work with. May I do that for my neighbors that are around me. May I do that when I ride the bus. May I do that when I'm riding on the freeway. May I do that, just make things better. And that's what God wants for us. Well, as I close, I want you to understand that this idea of fruit bearing really emphasizes bringing others to Christ. I want to go back to John 15. Go back to John 15. And I want you to notice how often from verses 1 through verse 8, the word fruit is mentioned. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Nobody plants a vine without expecting fruit. That's the purpose of the vine. Every branch in me that does not bear what fruit, he what? Takes away. And every branch that bears, here it is again, fruit, he prunes that it may bring what? More fruit. So the idea is that every vine, if it's planted, must be fruitful. Every one of us ought to be fruitful. Now, many congregations have what is called a committee to work for evangelism, to work to bring others to Christ. But I want you to see that through my study of discipleship, I've known it before, but it's more ingrained now than ever before, that we do Christ a disservice to call out a few members to work on an evangelism committee and say, that's your ministry. And they say, well, my ministry is this. May I emphasize again that if you are in Christ, then you are a branch. And the Lord expects you as a branch to bring forth fruit, not just from the point of character, not just in doing good works for somebody, but it must lead to the idea of all of us being interested in leading people to Christ. If we fail to see that I am personally responsible for making sure that others are brought into Christ, then I'm not bearing the fruit that the Lord wants me to bring into the world. I'm telling you that God wants everybody to be saved. Somebody say, well, I want to be like Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, Jesus was sent into the world that he might save the world. Jesus was sent into the world. He said, I came to seek that which is lost. Jesus took company with sinners. Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus was about trying to get folk out of sin and into a relationship with God Almighty. Everywhere you look, Jesus was about saving the souls of men and women. When he met the woman at the well, he knew she had a bad character, but he wanted to save her. He said, if you knew what water I have, you'd ask me for the water that I'd give. The water I give you, let me slow down. The water that I'll give you, it'll make you never thirst again. And when you do that, when you look at that, every disciple that comes, Jesus at this time in John 15, he was speaking directly to the 12. This was that intimate talk with them. And if you watch 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, that's that intimate time that he spends with his disciples. He told them, I need you to be fruit bearers. And they understood it must be in character, must be in behavior, but it's also about winning souls. Now, I want you to see how fruitful they were after Jesus gave them that commission. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, and I want to look at verse number 8. Now, just follow me, and it won't take me long. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now he's talking directly to his 12 apostles here. And you shall be what? Witnesses to me where? In Jerusalem. And in what? All Judea. And what? Samaria. And to the what? End of the earth. I need you. I need you. Go back to 8. I need you men to understand that it's imperative that you share with the world the good news of how I died for them, how I was buried for them, but you witnessed the resurrection, and that I am now alive, and I'm alive forevermore. You go tell them that I died for their sin. You go tell them that I've already lived the life that they need to live. You go tell them that my grace is free and you don't have to work for it anymore. Tell them about the good news. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Judea. Go to Samaria. Then go to the end of the earth. Well, they started in Jerusalem. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I'm on verse number 40. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 40. And watch this now. They're understanding that we must bear fruit. Now watch this now. And they were all filled. This is the 12 apostles now. Remember Judas who by transgression failed. But Matthias has now taken his place. But here the 12 have the Holy Spirit upon them. And the Bible says, well, you put it up there, didn't you? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave them up. Now, I've already talked about that. But I need to drop down to verse number 40. Verse number 40. Because I got to make this point. In verse number 40, and remember Peter stood up with the 11 and preached unto them Jesus. But watch this now. Verse number 40, they heard him in verse 37. And Peter told them what they must do in verse number 38. That is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. All right? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right? Verse number 39. And with many other words did he testify in his all saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. But watch this now. Watch this now. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this generation. Verse 41 is the key that I want. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Hold it. Don't move now. What do you think God is doing when they take the word of God, when they are steadfast in preaching the word of God, and they're preaching to those who are sinners, and when they hear what they say, and then they are baptized, then 3,000 folk obey the gospel. God is being glorified. Am I right about it? The angels of heaven are rejoicing. But how do you know? Because if just one sinner turns and repents, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. God is glorifying because of the 3,000. Well, let me show you something. Acts 4 and verse number 4. Go there with me. Acts 4 and verse number 4. Now, they had 3,000. Acts 4 and verse number 4. Acts 4 and verse number 4. There it is. Now, good. Now, watch this now. No, I'm patient. I'm patient. Those men are helping me. Now, watch this now. However, watch this, many of those who what? Heard the word, did what? Believe. Now that means that they kept on preaching. Am I right about it? And the number of the men came to be about how many? 5,000. So they started out with what? 3,000. Now, just counting the men, it's about what? 5,000 men. If it's 5,000 men, then that means that men, listen to me, women are twice as more faithful, twice as faithful as men. So if you got 5,000 men, you probably got at least 10,000 sisters. But let me make this point. He put emphasis on men because God needs men to be that's just a good point. I can't pass that without saying it. God needs men to show the leadership in the body of Christ. He needs men to step forward. But watch this now. I want to show you this. Do you think God is happy now? God is glorified. God is being worshipped. And the Bible says in Acts 2:47, praising God and having faith with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the Lord is just adding every day from 3,000 the first time. Now it's 5,000 men. But I got to show you this. Go with me now to Acts chapter 5 and verse number 14. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 14. I sure hope that's what I'm looking for. Acts chapter 5 and verse number... Oh, here it is. In that law, in that beautiful. And the believers were increasingly doing what? Added to the Lord. In other words, God wants us as a church to keep on adding to the belief. Keep on building up people in the kingdom of God. We've got to become active, involved. And now, watch this now, multitudes of what? Both men and women. In other words, it's too many for me to count. Now I just got to tell you that it's all about multitudes of both men and women. If I really had the time, I would tell you how that the people just kept on growing in Jerusalem until the high priest and all of those in the Sanhedrin, they decided that, man, we need to do something to stop this movement. And so they called in the apostles and they did all they could to stop the apostles from preaching the word of God. But you see, they couldn't do it. Now, go with me to Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. I got to show you this. I'm almost through, but I'm trying to show you that God wants us to bear fruit and bring people to Christ. Watch this. Then the word of God spread. You can't have disciples without the word of God, and you won't have the right spirit unless you love everybody. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples did what? Multiplied. Now, watch this. He moves from addition to multiplication. He said they multiplied greatly. Where? In Jerusalem. And watch this. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Well, go to Acts chapter 8, and I want to look at verse number 1. Acts chapter 8. Verse number 1. Now, you see the picture of a growing church, a people spreading the word of God. But watch this. Anywhere you're working hard for God, the devil is going to do all he can to stop it. But watch this now. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. That's the death of Stephen, who had preached. And watch this. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Somebody say, well, it's the apostles doing all of the saving. Mm-mm. It's the apostles doing all of the preaching. Mm-mm. Watch this. And they were all what? Scattered throughout the what? Region of Judea and Samaria. But what did the apostles do? They stayed in Jerusalem. Watch verse number 2. Come on now. Verse number 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentations over him. Verse number 3. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Hold it. Hold it. That simply means that you've got to be a fruit bearer. You've got to preach the word, whether they like it or whether they don't like it. Even in the midst of persecution, we got to preach the word of God. But watch verse number 4. Watch this now. Therefore, those who were scattered. Well, I know the those does not have reference to the apostles because the apostles stayed. So I'm not talking about apostles. I'm not talking about that special committee. Now I'm talking about all of the saints of God that were scattered and went where? Everywhere. But when they went, they did what? Preaching the what? The word of God. Work with me one more time. Go with me to Acts 11. And I want verse number 19. Hurry right quick. I'm almost through. I'm almost through. Acts 11. Verse number 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled. I already know that it wasn't the apostles that were scattered. It was the Christians that were scattered. And they scattered over the death and the persecution over Stephen. But they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch. Somebody told me Antioch is some 300 miles from Jerusalem, going north. Well, may I say to you that when they were in Jerusalem, they preached the word of God. When they left Jerusalem, they kept on preaching the word of God. Somewhere, I understand that the preaching of the word to no one but the Jews only. But now watch this. I got to show you this. Verse number 20. I'm almost through. Well, come on, verse number 20. But some of them were men from Cyprus, Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. These were Gentiles, but they were Greek-speaking Gentiles. So the gospel has gone from Jerusalem all the way to Antioch, some 300 miles. Why? Because the Christians were scattered abroad. Well, let me show you this. Now, watch verse number 21. Y'all tired. Wait a minute, watch this now. Watch this now. But here's what I like about this. The Bible said the hand of the Lord was with them. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, I need the hand of the Lord to be with me in 2016. May I say to you that if you want God to bless you, you better be involved in the works of Almighty God. Why? Because the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great what number believed and did what? Turned to the Lord. So all I'm saying is that in 2016, we got to get the right character, fruit, behavior, fruit. But we got to be involved in saving the souls of men. 2016, we will not put emphasis on a committee to carry the gospel. It will not be just a certain group. In 2016, every member will be given the task to bring souls to Christ. We are in a paradigm shift. No longer are we going to break it down in committees. Everybody got the same job. You got to serve God in your community. Witness to your neighbors. Witness to your co-workers. Witness to folk while you ride on the bus. Witness to folk. And if we're not involved in that, then we're not true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen, Walls, and amen, life. Am I looking all right? All right, amen, amen. Now, I know because I get all excited and no telling what I'm looking like. Am I right about it? This church, listen to me. This church has been blessed. And God didn't bring us here for us to rest on our laurels. You can't be satisfied with 2,000. This church got to work for 3,000 and 4,000. Am I right about it? Amen. That's right. Now, I laid the foundation. I hope you see that. So I'm asking everybody, in 2016, let's bring forth much fruit to God. Let's be involved in strengthening our spiritual character. Let's be involved in all our behaviors, doing what God wants us to do. And then last of all, let's put ourselves in line to help win people to Christ. Now, everybody's not going to do it the same way. You won't be able to do it as effectively as some people. But I guarantee you, if you're not involved in some aspect of winning souls, if it's no more than bringing somebody to the service, introducing them to fellow Christians, that's something that everybody can do. If it's no more than handing a tract to them and saying that I'm a member of the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ and we're making disciples for Jesus Christ and you need to come because we're learning how to make life better for ourselves. Everybody can do something. So we're going to challenge everybody, and I hope everybody will take the challenge and let's do what God wants. May I say this to you? Life is too short. Let me show you something about life. When that tornado came through, that tornado tore up a lot of physical structures. Am I right about it? I mean, people's personal possession, all of their living and all they had worked for, all of a sudden is just scattered all over their yard and somebody else's yard. And people couldn't even find some of that stuff. Are you with me? That car that they paid all that good money for? The tornado just took it and boom, threw it over there somewhere. Just destroyed everything. Are you with me? There were some lives that were lost, but many more lives could have been lost. But here's what I like about every person that was saved. They made this, and this was a universal statement. I lost everything, but by the grace of God, we're all right. Now let me tell you something about that. You know why God let your stuff be destroyed and saved you and only a few folk? It's because God knows that if he had destroyed some of these people in that tornado, they wouldn't have had a chance to be here on Sunday to make a decision for him. How many times does God have to keep proving to us that what you're working for so hard is not going to last?
Right. That's right.
And then I tell you another universal statement I heard. They say, well, insurance will take care of this. Some of it it will. Now, if you're going to insure your stuff, why are you going to go through 2016 and not insure your soul? Not only soul that you can, only soul insurance you have is Jesus Christ our Lord. And if I were you, I wouldn't go through 2016 without being assured of my salvation in Jesus Christ. If you take the Lord with you, the Lord will bless you and the Lord will be with you. This church is about understanding priorities, and Jesus will give you. He said, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? I'm asking you, 2016, let's be about fruit bearing. Let's bring much fruit to God. But before you can do that, you got to be in Christ. And I'm asking, if you're not in Christ, to get in Christ. You come by hearing. Everybody that you talk, we talked about, they heard the word of God. You've heard it today. You got to believe it with all of your heart. Repent, which means to turn and follow God. Turn, change your mind and turn and follow God. And then confess Christ to be the Son of God. Tell the world that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's too much evidence that he is who he says he is. And then go down in the water of the grave of baptism. Baptism is for the remission of sin. Acts 2:38. And he will, once you obey him in water, and you come up out of that water, having identified with his death, burial, and resurrection, then you will have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You fill yourself with the Spirit. You put those characteristics in your life. You show this kind of behavior. And you make sure that you're about trying to save other folk. You're telling folk about those diets. And tell folk about Jesus. Am I right about it? Amen. They got a good sale over there at Dillard's. Have you been over to tell somebody about Jesus? Have you seen what's on our, have you seen what's on Facebook? Tell somebody about the book. Jesus, amen. I pray that you'll come. Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come? Will you come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you fully trusting in his grace?
This hour you washed in the blood of the Lamb.
And are you washed?
Are you washed?
Are
they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Oh,
come on.
Are you
washed
in the blood?
In the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed? Spotless,
are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Before we sing that next time, I just believe somebody's almost, let me tell you something. Jesus, had he had that attitude that he was going to almost save us, never would have saved us. Jesus made up in his mind to come to this earth, live a life for you, a life that you couldn't live for yourself, die a death that was meant for you. Every stripe they put on his back was yours, but he took it for you. Every puncture of the crown in his head was for you and not him. The cross was for you. Now, he did that for you because he loved you. To give you an opportunity to salvation. How can a man have something given to him, like eternal life. And then he turned his back. Well, I made it through 2015, so evidently, no. Everybody didn't make it through 2015. What is your life? It's nothing but a vapor that appears for a little while, and it vanishes away. I'm praying. It's tough to give your life to Christ, and I understand that. But it's even worse for you not to give it and follow the ways that turn to death. We're going to sing just one more stanza, and I pray that you won't be almost, be altogether what God would have you to be by walking down this aisle, giving God your heart, giving God your life. You don't come to me. You don't come to these elders. You come to God, because he's the one coming to Christ. He's the one who gave his life for you. Tell him, I'm coming to give you all that I am. All right. We're going to sing this last stanza, and I pray that you'll come.